it on this part. So what we were gonna, I want to use this as like a building, like back in the verse. Yeah, I want to build it back up. I want to like, it can go, I can go a little lower, but then back when we go back into this, I want to build it back up to go back into the chorus, like a big chorus. Yes, this verse, I want to build it back up on. Like, if I go back into it, I want to use it kind of as a bridge, and I want to start building it up and up and up. Cool. And then go back, obviously, just into the chorus. So if I go back into that, I just want to kind of build it dynamically again.
Why don't we start, start softer on the verse? Build it right now, okay?
So when I lock eyes with you, I see my reflection. When I lock eyes with you, I feel your affection. Love to get lost in you, 'cause you're my obsession. When I lock eyes with you, oh. Did something weird, so
popped,
I was just
and then
listening.
Came on, and then that ear for some reason is kind of messed up.
Really. Yeah, for that one, there's gonna be lots of room and space because it's the last one. So. So after this, yeah,
we'll and go then, into worship and prophetic and stuff like that, and then come back in at the end of that into communion. Who? Oh, Cadence.
Stephen, we'll just keep an eye on you for when you want to start coming up for communion from the prophetic.
Do you want the prophetic before all of that,
or do you want it after? Where is prayer? Where is everything at?
No, well, what we actually said. like in the prophetic and prayer time, bring it back into number three in the bridge part, and then go into communion. So you do you want to do it in the middle then, like, and then come back and sing this song after? Okay.
We can build it after.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we'll go back in there or not. We'll just wait and see what happens. But that was the idea.
We can do it in the same key as this one, so yeah.
When we came back in, that's what we did. We stayed in the same key when we came back, and then it just stayed there. So.
Okay.
Yeah, because that is literally only verse 1, chorus, verse 2, chorus, and then we jumped. So we wouldn't go anywhere else. We'd wait.
Sounds good.
Then Grace can just take it in and out after that. So we're going to do communion during the middle of the third song. So before she jumps keys.
Before we go bridge.
Yes, before she jumps keys. So we're going to stay low until after. Well, whatever. Before she jumps an octave. Before she goes up, we're going to do communion. Then after we come back in, where do you want to start with that? Then the chorus? Or do you want to go back to a verse? Maybe you just want to feel it out and see. Or you could go into bridge, but then you're not going to be up.
I'll do B or B.
Yeah. And are we going to stay quiet through communion, or are we going to background it?
We're going to only have one vocal.
One vocal.
Yeah. Until after communion is taken. Yes. And we'll split the stage. All right, good.
Everybody, please check your batteries.
I'm on 2. I forget. Does that hold?
Okay, yeah. I'm on 2, too.
You're on 2.
So is she.
Wow, we have a long practice. Okay.
Hold on. I can't see your finger.
She's probably on 2, too.
No, she's on 4.
Oh, really?
She's got good batteries.
In a space, would you position yourself ready to hear from him? Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say good morning, and we'll dive right in.
Morning.
It's a good day in the house of the Lord. Are you happy to be here? We're going to just jump in Romans 12:12, it says to be constant in prayer. How many of you are constant in prayer? How many of you could grow in being constant in prayer? If you can grow in it, raise your hand. Really high. Okay, so you're in the right place. Isn't that good? You're in the right place. We're going to dive into this idea of being constant in prayer. There is so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about prayer, and so I'm going to share a couple of them. In James 5:16, it says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working." So therefore, you have to be praying for it to be powerful, right? Shake your head if you agree. Awesome. Number two, in Philippians 4:6, it says, "But in everything," so no matter what you're doing, "in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." So that's an opportunity for you to make your request to God, like to go after it. And then in the Bible, it talks about Jesus. And he's our greatest example, yes? So we're supposed to live like Jesus, follow Jesus, be like Jesus, right? And he was God and man. And I just love this because in his example, he clearly showed us that he was constant in prayer. In Luke 6:12, it says, "In the days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." How many of you have continued all night in prayer to God? Yeah, so we could all grow in praying, because if Jesus prayed all night, that was a lot of prayer. In Luke 5:16, it says, "And that he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." So he would pray by himself. He wasn't only praying when he came to the table and had dinner. He wasn't only praying when he came into the church. He was praying because he believed in the power of prayer. And then it says in Luke 9:18, "And now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him." So there's opportunities and times where, right, like even this morning, you're praying and seeking the Lord, but we're in community and doing it. And so Jesus was showing us, like, it's important that you pray. And how many times is prayer look like you on your knees in front of the altar? Rarely, right? Prayer is just a conversation that you're having with God. And I'm going to give you an example of one of the times that I prayed and what it looked like just in the natural sense of living. Because sometimes we need to come to the place where in your natural, just like I'm going in and out of my day and I'm in conversation with God. I was on my trip to Tampa and I was like really hungry. And there was a lot of circumstances that were on the front side of this that were just outside of anyone's control except for God. Like, he was invested and involved in the people's lives. And I was hungry and I went into a Taco Bell. And I was dressed in something really different because I was just at a Nigerian wedding. And when I was at that wedding, like, we didn't change. And so we walked in, and there was these two girls that were in there. And there was this opportunity that happened. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we're going to Nigeria tomorrow." And I was like, that's really wild. Like, I've never been to a Nigerian wedding, and you're going to Nigeria tomorrow. And they called my order. And so I walked away from her, or those two ladies. And in my heart, I was like, "Okay, God, what are you doing? What's happening in this moment? That's like so much coincidence. Like, that's crazy. Like, what's your heart for them?" And I felt like just like I should go and pray over their trip. I didn't know anything about them. And so I'm having this conversation with God, and I walk back over to them. I'm like, "It's kind of weird. You know, I just felt like I was supposed to pray over your trip." They're like, "We're Christians and you're a Christian. That's so awesome. We'd love for you to pray over us." And so as I'm praying over them, I'm like, "God, what's your heart for them?" And I'm asking him, asking the Holy Spirit in the midst of praying over them, like, what does he have to offer them? What is he wanting to do? And I'm interceding as I'm praying over them. And there's just this divine conversation. You're just having a natural conversation with an invisible God. And that's what I'm calling you into, that constant in prayer, is that no matter where you are, you're saying, "God, what are you doing? What does this look like? What should I be? How do I step into this?" And there was such a sweet moment that I got to pray over them and bless their trip. And then in return, this is the cool thing about believers. They're like, "Can we pray over you too?" And I was like, "Sure, that would be great." And so there was like an exchange of hearing the heart of God for each other. and I actually got to prophesy over them. And so it's just really cool how God can do something like that. And it's just about asking a question. God, what are you saying? What are you wanting to do? I didn't go in Taco Bell and get on my knees and like, God, you know, it was just in my head. But there's something that's so, isn't that kind of incredible that you can actually enter the throne room in the middle of a restaurant and talk to the king? And so I want to take you into this idea of prayer. And like, even when you think about prayer, it really comes down to your belief system. I love that Stephen touched on that. Like, what are you actually, where's your faith residing? Do you believe in the power of prayer? How many of you believe in the power of prayer? If you believe in it, then you would actually facilitate praying constant, because you would know that God is doing and moving on your prayer life. Like, he's not moving in all the other spaces, but in your prayer life, he's available. Even when it says, if you believe, in Matthew 21:22, it says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. What a promise. That is like a huge promise when you grab a hold of that. Whatever you ask for in prayer, God, whatever you ask for. And then he gifted it to you. He even said, look, in Matthew 7:7, hey, he's like, guys, ask. Ask me whatever you want. It says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. He's offering you an invitation. He's inviting you into this invitation. It's not like, well, maybe I'll just like see and we'll send, you know, somebody else to go and check and like that. It's just like he's saying, hey, if you ask, I'm here. I'm available. All of my resources are available. I've got the kingdom of heaven behind me and I can do it. Do you think about God like that? That he has the kingdom of heaven behind him and he can do whatever you ask. That's why he offered you such an extravagant promise that he's actually able to do exceedingly more than you could think or imagine. But it requires a what? Yes, asking. It actually requires you asking. How often do we not ask God? How often do we just come into this world of space every day and just try to figure it out and navigate it, and we're going to trudge through and we're going to win and we're going to go that way, but we never consider saying, hey, God, would you give me the strength to do it? Would you give me the wisdom to do it? Would you give me the provision to do it? Would you help me with the joy that's necessary to accomplish this? Would you help me not to worry and not to fear and not to fret over that? Would you pour your love upon me because I'm feeling lonely? Would you do this? Would you do that? Would you ask? Asking is part of the request that, and part of the invitation. And in 1 John 5:15, it says, and we know that he hears us when we ask. It's just so important that you believe that God actually hears you. That you're not just throwing it up into the air and hopefully it catches wind somewhere and catches something. That God actually has his attention on you. Like hard attention. Not like a parent distracted by their phone or a husband and spouse distracted by a game attention. Like that happens a lot. We try to get each other, we vie for attention from people, our friends, when we're sitting with them and they get dinged and then they're like lost in translation. That is not the God you serve. He has full attention on you. Thank you for that. Amen. It's a good thing to believe that God is actually hearing us. And I want to tell you, this is one of the really cool testimonies, because as I've been showing my children how to pray, and I think that this is like such a neat example. My son came home from work the other day and he was telling me a story. He's like, Mom, somebody returned a tent or a tarp or something, and they said it had a hole in it. So we're sitting there trying to search through the tarp, trying to find the hole. And we're struggling. We can't find it. So I was just like, God, I'm just going to ask God. Isn't that cool that he just decided to ask God in the middle of his job? So he's like, all right, God, help me find this hole. And he's like searching. He's like, I couldn't find it. And he was just like, all right, well, at least I asked God, you know, we do that. And he crumples it up to like shove it back in the box. And the hole is right on the top. He's like, it was right there, Mom. Like, how cool is that? And you know who he honored and praised in the midst of that story is the Lord. that the Lord was in the working and in the doing as he asked him. Do you know how many of us come to a problem in a situation like a hole in a tarp and we're searching and then we just like, okay, whatever, and we move on. We never even consider bringing God into such small things in our lives. And God is calling you to be consistent in prayer. He's calling you into that relationship with him. And so I want to give you a picture of through the story of Esther. And I've never considered Esther being a representation of the church in the story. And I was like, oh, that's really neat to think about that Esther represents the body of Christ, us. And so you're here for such a time as this. And I feel like that's a very important part of this message, that you live in today's time in all the issues of the world and all the things happening in the world, but you've been chosen. You've been called for such a time as this. And the thing is as Mordecai spoke that to her, he was saying, look, if you don't step into your position, God could raise somebody else up. But I know that he's positioned you here on purpose. You are positioned in Warth County on purpose. It's just not by happenstance, well, this is where I live, and, you know, I ended up randomly getting here. No, God has very much fashioned the course of your story. He's very much pointed in your direction and said, this is where I need them to be to do the work that I've fashioned them to do in that hour. And the thing is as you live in the United States, you've been called in this place to be a testimony of who God is. And that's exactly what was happening in Esther's story. Look, there was a big problem. All the people were going to die. All of her people. That's a big problem. Anybody having that big of a problem in their world? You know how easily the tables could turn? And we sit in security and the thought of that, but I'm just saying, like, in that moment, she's just walking through the palace. She's doing her life, and then her uncle's giving grief to Mordecai. Haman is, like, getting mad at the Jews, and then he goes sneakily and makes an edict, and there's something happening now that it's her life's on the line, and the people's lives are on the line, and it's sealed. And so she's called to prayer. She said, I'm calling the people to pray and to fast that I could go before the king, because this was a risky thing. And so what happens is that she goes into that space and she comes into the very courtroom, and the king sees her and he holds out the scepter towards her, and she comes and guess what he says to her? He says, look, whatever you want, Esther, I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. Think about how much that was. He had 127 providence from India to Ethiopia. What did he just offer her? And we think that's like that. That's a like an offer that's amazing. And I was watching this like reel or clip from this girl, and she's the inter between her, like, I don't know what she does. She's like the worker for a man that's got a lot of money. And the daughter called the girl that goes in between, the liaison maybe between them. And the daughter said, could you ask my dad for $80,000? I want to go this weekend to like wherever on a plane. Would you get that much money for me? Because I want to have like a party. And I want to go and just like hoorah. How many of you guys would ask your dad for $80,000? I was like, that's a lot of money for a weekend. And the dad, like, the lady has a conversation and she's like, yeah, it's good to be back on the phone with you, the dad. And the dad's like, well, I can offer her $60,000. But that's all I'm doing. She did not do good in high school. She does not deserve more than that. I was like, $60,000? I mean, I'm telling you like a real story of someone in today's date. So I want you to think about, like, yeah, we think about how ridiculous that is, and yet God offered you the whole kingdom. The cattle on 1,000 hills. Like, we won't even come to the Father thinking it's just too much when we're asking for things in our lives, like, handle this problem, deal with this situation. And in the natural, and this daughter had so much confidence that her father would give her something that she could ask that high. And I'm just thinking about God and how, like, how much he offered, even this king to his queen, saying, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. What do you want? If God's coming to you and saying, what do you want? Heather, what do you want from God? Jody, what do you want from the Lord? Like, what is it that you're asking from him? Nancy, what is it that you want from the Lord? Like, have you thought about what you want from the Lord? Like, you come into these conversations, and so many times we're just, like, pleading with God. He's like, he didn't offer you a plea bargain. He offered you all of the kingdom. He offered you the fullness of who he is. He gave it all. He actually gave you the blood, and then he gave you his name, and he said, I'll give you the power to do all the things. And by the way, I took care of the devil. I conquered it all. And now you have the authority inside of you. And that's what happened to Esther, is that in the midst of it, the king gave her Haman. Haman got hung. And then she came before the king again, and he said, what is it? And she's like, well, there's this edict. He's like, I can't do anything about it, but here's my ring. And so there was a shift in what happened, and they got to write something different, and they won victoriously. And today we even celebrate it. Do you think that Esther walked in as a queen in that moment of time and thought she would have national impact? Just this little Jewish girl. And yet God positioned her to have actual national impact. She nationally impacted her nation. When it was meant to be destroyed, she stood in the place and said, look, and that is the church. We are called to actually stand in the gap and stand in the position which he's called us to make a difference for the generation we live in and the generations to come. That you actually carry and have the signet ring. You have the name of Jesus. You have the name that's above every name. You have ownership to that. He said, look, what I've given you is my name. If you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. That's a passage in the Bible. How often are you using his name to change and move mountains in your life, in the lives of people you encounter, and wherever you go, and whatever you're doing? And he's positioning you. But you know what it took? It took Esther getting into the presence of the king. Nothing changed until she encountered the presence of the king. And I believe you entering into the presence of the king is so important. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, and let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our help of, in our time of need. There is something that is so valuable that you can actually in this moment enter into the very throne room of heaven. And seek the presence of the king. What's the big picture that God's wanting you to actually see in today's society, in your life, and in your world, that you could actually pray and pursue what God is telling you? To go after it with knowledge and with wisdom. And the thing is this is actually current day. I want to tell you a testimony of prayer, because I believe that prayer is so incredibly it's vital for this day and hour. It's not a thing of the past. It's a now thing. It's something you should be doing in the constant of your life, not in just the hurry and the frustration of your life and the bad things of your life, but the always. And I just feel like he's wanting to take you from like this narrow picture of trying to like just handle your life and get you into the broad space of what his kingdom is doing. And that's what was happening in Esther's world. She was like, yes, I know that this is risky, but this isn't about me. This is about what the kingdom needs. This is about the shift in what's happening in our world. And so as I was listening, there's a singer, he's very popular right now. His name is Forrest Frank. And like 2 weeks ago, he broke his back. He was skateboarding and he fell like in his driveway and he broke his back. And he's like one of the top people right now. But it's more than that. It's the idea that God is using him in today's world. And so there was another video released after that. People have been praying for him. And there was another video, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Torrin Wells, but he's another person that's like has concerts. And at his concert, he stopped the concert. And he was addressing the crowd, and he said, look, this guy, you know, you might have heard about him, Forrest Frank, and he broke his back, and what's happening? And he's like, this is actually not about Forrest as much as the assignment against his life for what he's doing in the kingdom. And so we as a body, we need to pray over him. We don't need to get loud and stuff. We just need to intercede on his behalf. And so they interceded because that guy knew that there was actually something going on in the heavenlies that needed to be handled. And what the enemy was meaning for harm was actually what God wanted to do for good. And yesterday, Forrest Frank released a video, and you can see it on like the socials, but his back was healed. Completely healed. He actually went and had an emergency like x-ray, and there was actually not even a sign of a break in his back. And he had like a CAT scan and all the breaks. God miraculously healed him because he's in the business of healing. God is in the working of prayer. He's in the movement of prayer. He's saying, pray, seek my face. I'm giving you opportunity every day. You have all the minutes of every day that you could ask me and I can move. I can't move unless you ask me. I'm asking you to ask me. I'm telling you, if you knock, if you seek out, you'll find me. If you keep pursuing me, and it's not about if it happens immediately or if it does, it's just about knowing that you can trust the Lord. You've got to learn to trust the Lord in prayer. That as I petition the Lord and I put my request before him, that he is in charge of what happens next. But I'm in charge of asking. I'm in charge of saying, God, you said if I can ask, and I'll ask whatever it is, and I'll do that. That's my charge. That's my command. You've given that to me. That's my space. God's space is all that comes after. The power, the release, the timing, and everything else. And you cannot get lost in it, that if it hasn't happened, it won't happen, because God is able to do it even yet. And we get lost in like, oh, it didn't happen, so I guess we'll just not have it happen. That's not faith. Faith is saying it's going to happen. I have a testimony. There's a girl, a friend of mine, she actually called me yesterday. She's in like a seriously bad situation, like really hard. And like what was necessary was exorbitant. Like it was like way bigger than she could ever even think. And as she sits in the mess and in the struggle of it, she's like, I kept asking the Lord that he would do what I could not do. And I know it's a big request. She said, I know it was a big request from the Lord. And she said, people actually mocked me and said that, like, you can't actually expect God to do that. Like he would not do that. Like God could not do that. There are lots of people that you have to shut them off in your earshot and say, my God can do all the things all the time. And like, no matter how big it is, he is able. And she called me yesterday and she said, God did it. I just couldn't relent in the belief that God could do this. He actually turned the situation around. He provided in like, it's bigger than we could even imagine, like that space. And he moved, he answered, and she was just like, I'm giving God all the glory. I don't even know how. It was all him, and it was all him, and he could do it. And I'm just like, God is so good. He's so able. If you believe that God can do it, then you would pray more. You would believe, you would go beyond, like, God, I want to see my whole family saved. Because that's not too big for God. How about a whole nation? I want to see the whole nation saved. I want to see my whole job and all the people that work at my job saved. How many of you would like to work at a job that everyone's saved? I got one hand back there. This year, at the beginning of this year, I started asking my kids, what are they believing God for? And my son, he said, I'm believing that everybody at my job would get saved. That's faith. Start stepping into those spaces and saying, I'm going to believe God that he can do more than I could think. And I don't know how he's going to do it, because you don't have to know how. You might not even understand it if he did tell you how, right? I mean, it might be like, oh, that's mind-blowing. That's too big for me. But God is able. He actually is way bigger than we put him in. We put him in such a tight, fixed box. And and we ask him to do it just the way we want him to do it, and he wants to do it so much better than what you can think about doing it like? Have you considered that? That the thought you thought, well, if I'd like God to do it like this, that would be really great. He's like, but I've got even a better plan. But you actually have to stand with, like, I've got the signet ring. I've got the name. I've got the blood. When I come into any situation, I've got the power. How many of you guys like playing a chess game and you've got the power? How many of you guys like playing you're like, I'm going to win this. When you step into the situation of any difficult space, you actually have the power. Because it's Christ inside of you. It's him working in and through you. He said, I'll put my Holy Spirit in you. And that is the power that you need that's going to give you life and everything you need for life and for all the things that are to come. And anything that comes against you, I've got a plan for it. I can destroy that. I can handle that. I've got wisdom beyond measure. There's nothing that God cannot do. So when you think about Jesus, I want to take you into this. It says that in John 14, 13 and 14, it says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, so that my Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He actually says it twice to his disciples. So he's doing life with his disciples. And he's like saying, okay, guys, we're going to go on the boat and we're going to go across the way. So if you open your Bible to Luke 8, verse 22, there's a passage of three verses, and it's this idea. Hey, Cadence, would you come up here? I'm going to give you a representation of them getting on the boat. Cadence gets to be Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? On this little boat, there's also 12 other guys behind me, but you can't see them. Because Jesus is on the boat, and it says they got on the boat, they started going, and he might have been praying that night, all night long, I don't know, but he was just dreaming of paddling because he was not participating in the paddling. So Jesus, it says that he was asleep in the stern of the boat. He's in the back of the boat, and these guys are paddling, and they're just trying to do what Jesus said. They're trying to get to the other side, you know? How many of us are doing that? In our lives, we're just trying to get to doing what Jesus said to do. He just said to, you know, love your neighbor, train up your children. He's telling you these things. I mean, you guys get a difficult child and then you don't know what to do, and you get stuck in that space. And so often in that space, we think about Jesus and God just being back there sleeping, like he's not participating. Sometimes it's easy to get real frustrated with God. We're like, God, you're not doing anything. Why aren't you doing anything? Like, I'm over here and I'm trying, but you're just in the back of the boat just sleeping. We think like that. And this big storm happens in their lives. It says the winds, and they felt like they were perishing. And there are times in our lives where it gets so hard. The enemy comes against us. Our job comes against us. Our family comes against us. Your thought life comes against you. Everything in this space, and your money's coming against you, and you have so many difficulties, and I'm just trying to follow what Jesus said. He put me on this boat. He told me to go to the other side and look at the storm. This was not supposed to happen. And so they go and they awaken Jesus. He was just like asleep. Like, dude, we're perishing over here. Like, we're perishing. We cry out to Jesus, and we're saying, we're perishing. And he abruptly wakes up, because he didn't need, like, an hour. Some of us need an hour after we wake up. Not all of us. Some of us. And he silences and calms the storm. And that's what we anticipate God doing in our lives. Except that Jesus came to them and said, hey guys, where's your faith? And I paused in the reckoning of this. That as they were trying to awaken Jesus, he was actually trying to awaken them. To say, look, guys, I've given you my name. I've given you the authority. I've given you this ability. As you're on this boat and you're walking in this, but I've already given you what you need and you have access that you could have calmed the storm. It's because as children of God, a lot of times we like to be. I don't think any of us really like to admit it, but we like to be spoon-fed. I don't think Cadence would appreciate if I went to, you know, Culver's and was like, here's the french fry, right? You want me to cut up your little chicken nuggets? I'm going to give you some bites and we'll just do an airplane, you know? I don't think he would appreciate that, right? He wouldn't, because he's matured enough to say, I can pick up my food and eat it. And God is calling you to be awake, church. That you would actually ask, that you would actually go from baby praying in that sense to like demanding the sea to be stopped, because the king is in me and he's given me all authority over this issue and this situation and what's happening. He's awakening us to actually understand that inside of us the king of glory lives, that we can actually function that way. Like we can step into faith. He tells us, he says, if you see a mountain, what do you have to have faith like? So it's not that big. It's not about a mount. It's just about using and accessing your faith and not wavering in your faith, saying, this is what I believe the Lord is saying and this is what he'll do. That's you knowing him. That's you accessing a knowledge of who God is. You can't say to the storm for it to be silence and calm unless you know him to be that. And that's what the disciples walked away from the boat saying, like, who is this guy? Like, the storms, the waves stop? Like, what? Last week, Pastor Ruth said, those that know their God will do great exploits. You have to know him to be able to stand in those positions of peace and say, I command peace over you, child of mine, that you will walk in peace when your child's all over the place. No, I'm speaking peace over you and peace to guard you. I'm going to speak life over my marriage when it's in disarray. No, the life of God is in our marriage and it will work and it will function. And then you, when you're in your job and you don't know, do I have the wisdom of God, because he says that he'll give it to me without reproach. So when I don't know what to do, God knows what to do, and he will reveal it, because he's a God that reveals and loves his children. When you're stepping into a situation of buying and selling, like, I don't know what to do. Why should I do this? God gives us wisdom in our decisions. He's able to say, you know, you should not do that. Wait on that. And the thing is, it's a requirement of obedience that you would hear the Lord and you would obey. We hear the Lord and we often tend to not obey. When he's saying, I want you to do this, so I want to take you a little bit deeper. How many of you would be willing to go just a little bit deeper with me? Thank you, one person. I paid him for that. No, I'm just playing. That was a joke, it's a joke. So when you think about who's on the boat, Peter was on the boat, right? And time passed, and then they were on another boat, right? And the storm happened again. And in the middle, Peter was like, I don't need the storm to still. Just call me out. I'll walk on the water with you. Like, he walked on the water. There's like this growth, this movement. I want you to see that God is cultivating moments of growth in Peter. So when you get into Acts 10, Peter's in this moment in verse 9. It says, and Peter went to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So this is post Jesus resurrection and Peter is still praying. That's a call to you to pray, that there's an opportunity in prayer. And so in this moment, when he's up on the rooftop praying, he's like, I'm hungry. That happens to all of us. If you're praying and you're hungry, get a snack, keep praying. But in the midst of him praying, God just is so good, because he works it. You know, even when I was hungry and I went to Taco Bell, like that, you know, God works in your hunger. So if you're hungry, just say, God, what are you doing when I'm hungry? The thing is that God was trying to teach him something, so he fell into a trance, it says, and then all of a sudden the sheet came down with all the animals, and God's saying, kill and eat. And Peter's like, yeah, no. Like, I'm not doing that. Those are dirty. And he's like, don't call what is unclean common. Like, I'm calling it something different. I'm changing what's happening in the world. Like, hear me, Peter. And it happened, and it happens. And then what happens is, like, he walks away from that moment, and these guys come into his house, and they're asking him to come to a different place because Cornelius had wanted them to come. So I want to show you what happens in the depth of prayer. It says in Acts 10:28, and he said to them, so he had showed up at their house. He had this experience, and then he shows up at their house, and he says, you yourselves know it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. What happens in prayer is that prayer should change us. When you come into prayer, it should actually be destroying the unbeliefs that you have. It should actually be, if God wants to speak to you about something and say, hey, you need to change your mind about this situation. Prayer changes you. That's so important that you can't just say, well, God change everybody else. So in this moment, Peter needed a reckoning. He needed to have an understanding. No, I'm changing what's happening on the earth, and this is what I see, and I need you to step in. So in the midst of it, in the midst of that time of prayer, he didn't only have to be changed, but he also was called to obey. He was called to go against the current of what was the natural thought of the time and step into what happened. And what happened is in that land and in those places in verse 30, and it says Cornelius said, he said, you know, you would not believe this. 4 days ago, I was praying about the same hour, and a man stood in front of me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered before the Lord. So as Cornelius was praying and Peter was praying, God was creating a connection that would create an impact in his family. In Cornelius' family, he got saved. And when he got saved, guess what? His whole family got saved. The whole household got saved and all the people that had come underneath his roof. And guess what else happened? They all got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they got baptized. Because Peter was like, what am I to do? I mean, God can do whatever he wants in this moment. I'm just willing servant of the Lord, willing to stay constant in prayer, willing to step in and say, you know what, God, you have something you want to do in my life that's bigger, that's more than just me getting my way. Because a lot of times we pray our way. How many of you are guilty of that? Just one of you. Okay. How about family impact? In your praying, that you would have actual impact in your family. God wants to take you somewhere deeper because he wants you to know who he is. He's like, look, I'm going to reveal something to you. The truth is, you don't know everything you need to know about God yet. He's continually revealing himself to us. He's continually showing us how good of a father he is and who he is. And what he can do, and how big he is. If he says he could do greater things than Jesus did, how do you know those things unless you know him? We try to follow and emulate what Jesus did, and Jesus is like, but I got even bigger plans. And I positioned you, and I've called you, and this is your time on the earth. This is not Esther's time or Peter's time any longer. This is your opportunity for you to pray and you to see everything change in our county, in your family line, in what's ahead for our nation, in what's happening in the world, and what the kingdom is doing and how the kingdom is advancing. And your prayers make a huge difference. There's so many people that say, unless a church prays. Even Jesus was like, look, guys, this is not anything about my house. This is a house of prayer. Like, I want you to remember how important prayer is. Like, how vital it is for your life that you would have a conversation with God. And so I'm going to call you out this week. call you into action. How many of you guys like to have a assignment? No one. It's all right. You get one anyway. Would you put the slide up? Everybody, if you would pull out your paper and or your phone, whatever you're going to put a note on, because I want you to put a note down. If you don't have a piece of paper and a pen, ask a neighbor to split one with you. Everyone, I'm calling everyone in the house to do this. You don't have an option. It's a family event, and you're part of the family at Lighthouse Church. And there's five things this week we're going to pray for, and you're going to pray for them every day. A week ago, I pulled five things out, and one is in the nations, two is community, three is church, four is family, and five is personal. And I pulled five different things last week, and every day of the week, I prayed over them. And every day it changed and shifted. But I'm believing that we're going to see something shift in the atmosphere because we're praying. And so I'm asking, if you want to pray for your nation, pray for your nation. If you want to pick a different nation, pray for that. But I'm not asking you for, like, God, move in Africa. No, a bold prayer. God, totally bring revival to Africa, the whole place. Shift what's happening in the land. Cause laborers to be sent into that space. This is you just boldly asking God to do something so supernatural that you couldn't do it, but he could. So pick something. Pick one nation and write it down in the number one. Number two is your community. This is Walworth County. If you live in this county, this is the county I'm asking you to pray over, this community. You can pray for the jobs in our community. You can pray for the buying and the selling in our community. You could pray for revival to break out in our community, that God would send, it says to cry out to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into our community. You can just simply say that. You could actually just pray the Lord's Prayer over each one of these. That God would move in your community like never before. That we would see divine healings, divine miracles, strategic strategies for the kingdom would be released. Pray for the school system in our community. Pick a school and say, I'm praying for that school every day. There's so many opportunities and ideas to pray over our community. Now I'm going to pray that you're going to pray for the church. This can be broad in the church at large, but I'm actually calling you in-house to pray over Lighthouse. You could pray over the children's ministry. You could pray over the worship. You could pray over our pastors. You could pray over the finances of the church. You could pray over this fall coming, all the things that are coming this fall. There's like a lot of things in the church you can pray over. You can pray over the youth group. You can pray over the kids ministry. You can pray for God to send laborers into the church. You can pray that we would see salvation every day at Lighthouse Church. Every Sunday we would see somebody getting baptized. You could pray for a revival to break out in this church. You could pray specifically for every member of the church. Number four is your family. You can pray for your family. When I started praying for my family, the very first day I started praying, I was praying that the Lord would give me an idea for homeschooling them for this coming year. So it's very, like, it's personal what you're praying for your family. You could pray for salvation over your family. You could pray for your family's finances. As the week grew, I prayed over my sister and brother-in-laws. I prayed over my parents. I prayed over their marriage. I prayed over my children, them hearing the Lord, them growing in their relationship with God. It's always like, it's that move of what's on your heart, God, for our family. What are you doing in my family? What are you wanting to do in this next season in my family? That you would speak life over your family. Number five is personal. Maybe God's giving you an idea. Maybe you need God to move in something that's very personal to you. That's you. This is you-based. What is it that you're going to write down that God could do in your life? You need to write it down on those lines so that you remember. In this last week, it was super easy to forget. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do that. And then I'd start like praying. You can be working out and you can just start having a petition to the Lord. You can use any space. You can be driving to somewhere and say, oh yeah, I've got to pray for the nation. God, what are you going to do in the nation? I was riding my bike and I started praying over our community as I was riding my bike. God, you can do all the things in prayer anywhere you're at, but I'm calling you that in this next week, that every single day you would lift these things up. If you don't know how to pray, he teaches us in Matthew. You can pray the Lord's Prayer over each of these individually. God, let your kingdom come and your will be done in the nation. Let it be done in my family. Let it be done in my church. If we're going to see such a shift, how many of you believe that? As you pray, you're going to see a shift. I do. I believe that we're going to see, because I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to ask you, did you pray? And so you're going to be held accountable for praying. To not be too busy. Stop scrolling and pray. It's so easy. When he's talking up here about having your focus on something else, it's easy to get distracted by the things of this world. If you watch a 30-minute show, then that has your attention for that 30 minutes. That means for 30 minutes, you could have your attention on praying. Right? I don't even really like that our phones keep record of how much time we spend on them, because you know what? We spend way too much time on them. It does. You were on there 6 hours yesterday. 6 hours? Surely we have better things to do for the kingdom. This is kingdom work. This is you saying, I have the blood and I have the name, and I can go to prayer and say, this is what the Lord has said that he would do, and I'm gonna see what the Lord will do. How many of you guys are ready to see what the Lord will do? How many of you guys need something to change? All right, would you stand? Because we're in this together, would you just grab hands with somebody next to you? We're going to close out today's service just in a sense of unity, that in our hearts we're unified with one purpose, that we would seek the heart of God. That as we pray, we would say, God, what's on your heart? And that we would cultivate that. That God would do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you could ask him this week. God, we're just coming to you as a people. And we thank you for the authority that you've given us in prayer. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask, God, that you would move so abundantly in the midst of us as we seek you and we pray this week. God, I'm asking that you would move in the nations, that you would move in our community, that you would move in our families, in our church, and that you would move in us individually, God. God, you're a God that cares about us, and we thank you that you care so much for us and you love us so much. And we ask that you would do so much in the midst of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Go in his grace.